Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, how are you? Welcome to the show, and then we're going to have a little situation. We're going to talk about this, that, and the other. Usually a lot of things about relationships. But if you want to call here and get a reading, please do so. Here we do readings. We call it, when we say free readings, we mean free readings. We're not going to sit and walk around, tiptoe around the whole freaking situation and go, oh, I can only give you two questions, so therefore you'll call me later. I don't believe that. I believe that we should give them a full experience. Give someone a full experience. Therefore, then we can take it to another session, because I have a lot of sessions I can't do on the air. 90-minute sessions, relationship counseling, life coaching, relationship compatibility, palm readings, and those kind of things. So therefore, we try to do as much as we can, but we do give you a full reading. So we're not going to just give you a couple questions and that kind of stuff. We're going to allow you to call in, and we're going to sit down and deal with it and work with it. Okay? We're not a person. We want to do a quantity of people. We want to do quality. Quality is more important to me. As a light worker and a spiritual person, as the ideal, the experience. And I think people are left with uncertainty when you only do two questions or answer a question, because they're always asking for more. And then we sit there and go, well, we got to go on to our next caller. We have a two-hour show for that reason, so we can actually sit down and work with you and that kind of thing too as well. So if you have any relationship questions, career, whatever it is, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Okay, guys, if you want to sit there and call me for a private reading, and you liked your experience and you want to continue it, please do so and call me at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. This month we're having a nice special. We're at $75 for 75 minutes. We also have our 90-minute sessions right now that are going for $77 a piece, or you can get four as a block of time. You can get four 90-minute sessions for only $150. All right. We also do parties. So if you're a person who wants to do a party, either through Skype or in person, if you're here in the Colorado Springs area, please let us know. Because right now, it's usually $150 for us to do parties. But now, you can get it for $75 and have us there for your whole party. And I guarantee that all your guests will have a great experience in sitting down and getting a read with me. All right. I also have these things called meditations, where we sit down with you and work on the situation. All I ask for is you guys keep an open mind. Let go of your old habits in favor of some new ones. Right now, you can get five meditations for $100. They're 30-minute sessions, so they go for like, right now they go for $3 a piece. But you can get five of those sessions for only $100. So therefore, keep all those things in mind and give us a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We'd be glad to sit down with you and talk to you. I also work with children. If you have a gifted child, you're not really sure about how to go about the situation and work with them, that kind of stuff, contact us. We work with both of you and the idea of making a very pleasant experience and also to enhance the child's gifts, if not, find your own gifts too as well. So therefore, keep it in mind and see what's up. So keep it. So let's do what we got to do, all right? So therefore, let's get going. Let's go on and let's see if this one person actually wants to talk to us. Let's see what's up. And here we go. Guest, we have area code 562. How are you?
Hey,
pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wasn't too sure if you wanted to actually come on the air and ask the questions or not, because I'm still kind of iffy about this new switchboard and what represents the idea of being on or not being on.
Well, my son was using the computer, so I don't like to miss your show, so I just called in and listen. And you know, when it's not busy, then if you answer, great. If not, I just let other people call in, and I'll learn from you. Either way, I will always learn from you because you're so unbelievable.
Thank you. I'm kind of like an awe right now.
I did call, I don't know, was it last week or something, and you had, I had a relationship question, and you had in contact my significant other, I guess.
There you go.
He's another place. And it didn't go very well. I mean, it's just, it is the same thing as it's been for months. We just,
stubborn.
You know, talk about nothing, and we don't move from there.
Sounds like a struggle, huh?
The problem is the same situation where we can't pass that. I don't know what it is. We just don't pass more than just a friendship anymore. I mean, I think we're both kind of scared to go back to where it was before. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but see, that's the point. The fear is just an illusion. So therefore, it keeps you from going back where you really want to be. It's kind of hard to sit this discussion. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she is kind of caught between two people of trying to figure the situation out, when it could be simply not trying to figure the situation out. It could be more of the situation of figuring oneself out of what one person, what you really want, what you need, what you desire. That you haven't really declared that whole thing, where in some sense of the word, we have a tendency. And I've heard this question so many times where people are always asking how the other person is doing. What's up? When actually it could be more of a reflection on what we need to do for ourselves.
True.
I hate to say that because I look at the situation myself and I get very angry sometimes when it comes to relationship counseling, which I shouldn't. But it's amazing to watch people walk away from fantastic situations because of a couple infractions.
Mm-hmm.
And then want to take it one step further and demand and make things. Nope, we can't do that. I'm sorry. If you're making those kind of demands, you're definitely not allowing yourself to do what you really want to do, to the point where you're trying to control it. Not going there because I'm scared, not realizing that the fear needs to be faced, and realize that once you, it's like looking at most people talk about the walls, you get the walls up. When you confront those walls, you're going to find out one thing about those walls. You can walk through them. So the only reason they had substance is because you kept on feeding on those and putting energy into them, so therefore you felt like they were solid. As soon as you look at them for what they are and see them as illusions, you can walk through them like a curtain. So it's the idea. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and allow these incredible curtains to keep you from going anywhere? Are you going to sit there and go the whole thing? It's a fearful thing, but it's also the idea of my part of the situation of seeing things so clearly and so intensely of how fantastic something can be, that I can't understand sometimes why people are so scared, because they're still judging it because of where they came from, not really what's presenting itself now. You know, you get couples that say, well, you know, when we first got together. I don't give a shit about when you first got together. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's happening today, this very minute. It's the ideal telling everybody, please, start living in the freaking now and quit thinking about what you're missing out on, because realistically, you're not missing out on anything. It's an illusion. You don't miss out on anything. Everything that you've actually experienced happened the way it was supposed to happen. Because if it didn't, it would have happened a different way, which you would have experienced that too as well. So see, if you look at these equations, you never miss anything. Everything always plays out the way it's supposed to. If you don't like the situation, then you make different decisions. When I was looking at your cards, I would sit there and say, it's time to take a different direction on this. Instead of confronting each other and banging heads, it's the ideal of taking your hands and your arms and putting them around each other, so therefore you can actually feel each other cheek to cheek. Then you're going to feel the intensity of love. Then you're going to sit there going, why were we hiding this? Why were we fighting this? And then you're going to find yourself loving the situation so intensely that you're going to have so much fun, you're going to even ask yourself another time, why was we holding back on this thing? Because of fear of what happened before. What happened before was a misunderstanding. The idea of getting past the misunderstanding is going to change everything, of realizing it was a misunderstanding with yourself. You read the message wrong, but see, you're the one who read it wrong. Okay, he sent it out. Maybe he sent it out a different way, but you're the one who interpreted it. So therefore, we just step back from the situation and go, okay, this time let's go from a different direction. Let's go from a directness of the heart and ask ourselves, what should we do? I always tell people, meditate on the heart. Focus on your heart. And when I say heart, I'm talking about the God essence of love. That's usually the essence behind the heart. So it's space behind the heart. And if you sit and look at the body, there is a space behind the heart. And when you sit and look at that situation and focus and see, you can see a pilot light. You can see whatever you focus on when you see it. But you're definitely going to do one thing. If you sit there and focus on the meditation I usually do and bowing your head and focusing on that space and allow yourself to go within and just keep saying to yourself, I am love, I am love, I am love, you're going to start tapping into something really powerful that's going to kind of blow your mind. Because it's the idea when you actually tap into the pure God essence of who you are, you're going to find out what you are as a pure loving entity, a pure loving soul. Because see, you're made in the image of God, and so therefore we don't realize the image that we're actually seeing as the idea of being in the image of God. The Bible is a spiritual tech. We're not talking about human body. Read the Bible clearly. It says Adam and Eve were created in the image of God before they fell from grace. So therefore they're pure loving souls that were created from a pure loving entity called God. So therefore, if you tap into the power of who you are, what you are all about, and to sit there, if you're going to sit there and live by this world is going to hurt you. It's going to smack you like a freaking sledgehammer every freaking time. If you tap into your God essence and love and love and love and just love yourself, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start attracting everything loving. Even the bees will kiss you instead of stinging you. You think I'm wrong? Try it. You know, I'm tired of people sitting here going, you know, something life's supposed to be hard. I'm saying, get your head out of your ass and take a towel, wipe your face off, because you can see what's going on, my friend. Because you're just fooling yourself. All the decisions you've made up to this point in your life, you did. Nobody else. It's never been anybody else's fault except yours and how your life has turned out and where you're at right now. So the idea of being direct, honest, and straightforward. I have a lot of people that tell me anything and everything. You know why they do that for?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do. If you stop playing games, stop lying with yourself, because if you're playing games with anybody, like I said before, if you're sitting in front of the computer and you're sitting on Facebook talking to people, then you got friends, you are an illusion bigger than you can think of. If you're going on Facebook telling everybody all kinds of bullshit, ask yourself why you're not going out there talking to people in real life. Why don't you have any friends? Okay, you know something realistic? I think, you know, the idea of really having friends usually happens about 5 or 6, maybe 3 or 4 friends you have. Do you know that kind of thing? And you put the whole thing together and that kind of stuff, and you start thinking, I only have 5 friends in my hand. Some people are like, oh, my God, I only have 5 friends. I feel sad. I say, why don't you take a look at the friends you do have? Are they friends or acquaintances? Because if you got 500 damn friends on Facebook, they're acquaintances. They're not friends.
Yeah, they're not friends. Mm, not at all.
No, if they're sitting there, if they're feeding into your bullshit, all they are manifestations of your fears.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just regenerating that whole thing over and over again. If you want to have a life, then have a life. But be like a bulldozer. You ever seen a bulldozer scared to death to plow through the freaking woods to make a path for itself? No. Once you push that button, it just keeps going. They don't sit there and go, oh, I don't want to touch that tree. No. It's not intimidated by anything else. And if you plow through life in the same way, you're going to see your life change drastically. It's the idea of asking yourself, if you're working at a freaking restaurant or working for anybody realistically, in the sense of the word that you're working there because of money, to make money, then you're a slave to money.
Mm-hmm.
Money is controlling your life. So therefore, we take it one step further. What other things are controlling your life right now? What are the other things in your life right now are controlling your life? Because if you got one thing controlling your life, then you got many things controlling your life. And you need to keep that in perspective too as well. Still ask yourself, what is up? You know, if you catch yourself blaming anybody for your life being the way it is, then you're not really looking at yourself, and you're not really. And this is another thing too. If your life sucks, you suck. That means you're not. That means you're not taking the time for yourself. You're not doing the work for yourself, and you don't love yourself because you're looking for outer stimuli to prove to you that you have worth, which means you have no worth, as in the sense of what your perception tells you. I will tell you differently. I feel like everybody in the freaking world is worth $10 million, if not priceless, because of where you came from. You come from an entity of pure essence, pure love, and also who loves us to the point where it's like, you know, you got the right to do what you want to do with your own life, because therefore I've given you the abilities, I've given you all the powers, and I've given you dominion. Why are you not using it? Why are you sitting there working for a stupid restaurant making stupid tips? Why are you sitting there going, I'm making all this freaking money? That money is going to leave you unfulfilled, and I guarantee in 2 months you'll quit that job, if not sooner, because you're going to find out one thing. Working these stupid jobs, you don't grow. You don't grow spiritually. You don't grow emotionally. All you're doing is you're a slave looking for a way out as soon as you even started doing the whole thing. If your feet and ankles hurt, use that as a sign of saying, you know something? When I was living my life purpose, my body didn't ache like this. My life wasn't like this. I missed what I was doing. I suggest you go do it again. The reason I say these things is because I've come from the same place myself, okay? Working my freaking ass for the carnival and always doing palm readings and write psychic readings for people, which I love doing, to the point where I actually had to get to a point of saying, what am I doing? I'm out here killing myself, getting yelled at for something I didn't even do. And the idea of all this hostility, until I realized one day, all the things happening in my life at that moment was because I made a decision to go work for the carnival. If I would have made a different decision, which told me that I should be doing psychic work and spiritual work, which I actually do love doing more, I decided I had to go out and make some money real quick, not realizing I was making my slave to the money. Okay? So then I sit there and this last year, I said, I'm not going back out there, and I moved back to Colorado. And as soon as I made that decision to move back to Colorado, my income on what I'm doing and the idea of my life purpose increased by tenfold. So I went from making $400 a week to now I make over $1,000 a pay period. So you can't sit here and look at the situation and making decisions and sneeze at that. You know? It's like looking at the situations of people I've had in my life and looking at them going, okay, every time anybody's ever been with me as any kind of relationship or something like that, their life always got better. Mm-hmm. So you get really angry when people walk away in favor of worldly bullshit.
I have a question. You know, okay, I strongly believe what you're saying, like that we create our environment, our basically our whole entire universe. I mean, it really starts within us. How does it affect when that person comes into your life? Because I notice, like, sometimes even when I don't, see, my thing right now, I'm evolving spiritually. So my main concentration has been, this whole entire year, has been just me. And so I'm not too concerned on finding a mate, because I don't think sometimes, you know. The timing is just not right.
This is what I was saying before, too, okay? I was sitting here looking at this one here, right here. And it was like I always pull this one out very quickly for everybody for one freaking reason, is to help people understand what you're doing and why you should be approaching in a different direction, all right? Okay, I was sitting here looking at this one, if I can find it. I hate when I can't find something very quickly. But then again, we're not getting paid for this, are we, guys? You sit there and take your time, okay? Okay, I'm trying to.
Like I was saying.
Here it is. I found it. Listen to this. Just for listening to this one real quick. See, I was going to say, I just want everybody to stop right now and stop. Just stop. It's the ideal. Fascinations, I'm not in the mood or I'm not really in the market for a partner. Okay, first of all, ask yourself at that moment. I'm not going to try to criticize or not. I'm just asking you a question. I want you to ask yourself, in the process of what you just said, what does that reflect back about you? Because we have this thing I don't like about scientists. We're all animals, and they treat it as such, that we have this animal magnetism. Okay, and we have all this good stuff going. Chemistry. Okay. Okay, great. But this one here says belief. What is your belief? Okay, it says your task is not to seek for love. But merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built up against it. Now, when you sit and read that one thing, okay, this realizes the situation too here, and get the definition of what soulmate means, okay? A soulmate is someone whom we feel profoundly connected, as though the communication and communing that takes place between us were not the product of intentional efforts, but rather a divine grace. This kind of relationship is so important to the soul that many have said there is nothing more precious in life. Now, if you look at the situation, it's talking about divine grace, the idea of divine intervention and certain things just happening the way they do. Now, if we sit there and take the freaking spin off of it and stop chasing after everything and also eliminate all these freaking dating services which are just nothing but meat markets of actually treating people as such, look at the situation of our attitudes and our perceptions on how we're perceiving and pursuing relationships. The point is, we are actually pursuing relationships. At the same time, we want to attract our soulmate into our lives. Now, you see the contradiction. You're not supposed to be in the market. You're not supposed to be open to partners. You're not supposed to be doing anything. Like you said before, it says your task is not to seek for love, but merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built up against it, which means you don't love yourself as much as you think you did. And you need to take a look at the situation and go, okay, how can I love myself completely? Well, realize one other thing, too, and the idea of loving yourself completely is the idea that if we change every day with everything that crosses our paths, then the idea of actually getting to know ourselves is a lifetime achievement, too, as well. So, therefore, that's why we go through so many lifetimes. Lifetimes are the idea of learning situations because it's a constant progression of spirituality. Each lifetime brings us to the next lifetime of certain things we're going to learn in the process of this time frame. Okay? So, therefore, what the situation is, like stressing the situation and saying, if you have found that if you love life, life will love you back. But like you said before, in order for life to love us back, it's like abundance. You can't attract abundance unless you feel abundance within yourself, within your heart. And the idea of abundance is not the idea about money. It's about the abundance of how you feel about yourself. So I feel abundantly loving about myself. So therefore, I have a tendency to attract abundantly of everything in my life. So therefore, we need to look at the situations and say, okay, this stops spinning our wheels, this stops chasing after things, and let's just simply just be right now. And then when we get the prompting to do something, as in to accept an opportunity that crosses our path or something that goes on, then accept that and then go and follow and see where that leads you to. But you see how it works? Everything good that you desire will come to you. If it doesn't come to you, then it's not good for you. And we need to let those things go and favor what is good for us. So therefore, if let's say this guy that doesn't really want to do the whole thing and wants to be stubborn and wants to do the whole thing, then open yourself up and tell yourself, I deserve to be loved. You know, I deserve to be loved, cherished, and desired. And if someone doesn't desire me, then they don't desire themselves. So therefore, how can we have a protective relationship? It's not my job to make them people fulfilled. My job is to be with somebody with my fulfillment. So therefore, I can reflect it back to them how fulfilling they are already. To actually, it was a realization that they are a full, whole, complete person. They're healthy, they're honest. It's just the idea of them coming to that realization. So therefore, when two people come together, that's the realization of fulfillment. You fulfill me, which means you make me feel fulfilled. Not that you're in the missing piece, but now I have a person in my life I can share my full, complete life with. So therefore, share your life with me. It's sharing. It's not the ideal, I got to have somebody in my life. No. It's the idea of wanting to share your life. Because your life is so fantastic and awesome that you want to share it with somebody else and say, come on, sweetie, open up. My life is fantastic. My life is awesome. I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm loved. I'm cherished. I'm desired. Okay, and people are going to go, that's kind of egotistic, isn't it? I said, no, it's not. It's the ideal of taking your head out your ass and say, looking at the person you're with, they're realizing that like attracts like. And you're both the same way. It's the idea of realizing that too. So when people cross our paths, they're realizations about ourselves. And if we open up to the possibility of all those things, your life will get better because you just realize that you're a great, awesome person. So therefore, accept it and live it. and you'll see your life change for the better, and you'll start really attracting a lot more people in your life, and the ideal looking at the situation, not as choices, it's just the ideal that you are in your element, and you are becoming who you are. Okay, the realization is the thing. Okay, but then we're going to sit there and live our lives. As we live our lives, we find more things about ourselves. It's like this one thing I saw before. It was like, it's called soul fragmentation, where pieces of your soul have been torn away from you. Now, the illusion is people don't realize, is we have this magnetic field around us. So therefore, yeah, the soul has had fragments of certain things that have attacked us or whatever, that we feel in pieces. People don't realize in certain meditations, you can take those fragments, and all you have to do with your magnetic field of your energy, your love, and that kind of stuff is to pull those pieces back to you very simply and become a whole person. Because a lot of times, it's more an illusion than actually an act. So therefore, we start realizing that how important it is to have people cross our paths and to experience each and every one of those relationships to the fullest is to understand that we're finding things about ourselves. If you walk away from somebody and you don't want to associate with that person, you're refusing to see you and it's something about you that you're not ready to confront, so you're pushing it away. But realistically, it's also an illusion that says, yes, you are, or why would you be pushing it away? So we sit there and put these things together and say, okay, immature love says, I love you because I need you. You see what it says? It says, I love you because I need you. So we're using the love to need somebody. So we don't need that. Now, but mature love says, I need you because I love you. And what we're saying in that statement is, I love you. And the reason I need you in my life is because I want to express that to you. I want to hold you, kiss you, love you. Not sit there and tell you otherwise and saying you're a bad person. I want to sit there and build you up. I want to sit there and help you see how awesome person you are. Okay, every time you say I'm awesome, I'm going to sit and look back at you and say the same thing. Like attracts like, sweetie. Like attracts like. So what you see, you are, and you can be, and if you're not already are. So you sit and look at the situation, you and this guy, you should look at the situation. There are certain fragments of your life that you're refusing to take a look at that you can actually find out more things about yourself. But you're both refusing to let go there. Okay, because the fear is keeping you from discovering another great, awesome piece about you. And I think it's because the ideal, the situation of awesome love and communication and everything that goes along with it, you guys are scared to experience that awesome love because you haven't really experienced it within yourselves. And I guarantee that that's what it's all about. And you both need to let down the walls and you need to let this happen. It's the ideal, trying to figure it out. You consider meditating until doomsday. You still got to come up out of that freaking bed or wherever you meditate, and you got to sit there and focus, and you got to still face that fear. So it's the ideal. This situation is just that. It's a way to find you. It's a way to find out more about you. It's the ideal. How of a loving person are you? The next time he sits here and gets angry with you or stubborn, show him how loving you are. Not how resistant you are and not how stubborn you are. It's the idea of taking those traits and pushing them to the side and say, you know something? I'm going to stop making excuses to keep myself from finding out more things about myself.
So basically, when you push away a person, like I have, different friends who would sometimes they want to get close to me and I totally push them away. I have to figure out what is the reason within me that I'm pushing that away? What is it triggering me? I have to basically pay attention. What does it trigger for me to just don't want to deal with them? Like, I'll just find,
it's
you know what?
It's not wanting to deal with yourself.
There's got to be something, and that's what I need to figure out.
That's what the whole thing is. You don't want to deal with yourself because you want to deal with him. Now, like we always said before, the reflections are answers. The people that are across from us are answers for us, not the other way around. If we look at that just like that way, then we're going to find out something very important about ourselves. So therefore, either stay in it or don't stay in it. But that's the one thing. It needs to be confronted. It needs to be sit down. And that's what I was talking about before, I think, when we were talking about the heart-to-heart conversation, is the idea of being honest with each other, not pushing each other away. And that's what the whole thing is. When it's like he says, I don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we don't really have to figure him out. That's his job. But I feel like that once you figure yourself out and you start focusing on what you really want to do with the situation and confronting and stop pushing him away. See, the thing is, realistically, you're not going to find out by asking somebody else, what's all about. It's you to actually sit down with that person, look at that person, that situation, and ask yourself, what are you running away from? Not what you're pushing away, what you're running away from, because it's a perception on your part. I'm pushing him away because I want to deal with him, but actually, you're actually, instead of doing the action yourself or running away, you're pushing him away. But it's still the same act. That's something you don't want to confront. And I feel like it's something you need to confront. Because it's the ideal, the fear, I think here is the ideal of what happened before. How things fell into place and that kind of stuff was scared of happening again. Not realizing until someone goes down that freaking road and starts realizing exactly what is going on, that it doesn't have to happen that way. Because like we said before, it's time to take a different direction. Not the idea what you did last time. Okay, so we don't want to get back together. We want to be together to have a different chance and a different opportunity with a different outcome. And people sit there and go, you know, when you start, you know, insanity means you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. But you can still be with the same person because, you know, people change. People are entities. They're spirits. They change all the time. So therefore, in those situations, it's not called insanity. It's the idea when two people's paths crossing in, and they keep constantly in that situation of people sitting there saying, well, you know, we need to keep this as friendship because it doesn't work any other way, means you are still judging it because of where you came from instead of what's being presented to you right now. And we're going to take a drink of water on that one.
I just need to figure with me, I just need to stop focusing on the outside. And I have. I thought I was doing pretty good, but, you know, when I listen to you explain it, I need to find that answer.
I'm just saying, sweetie, don't sit there and beat up on yourself. Just look at the situation and go, okay, I thought I was doing the right thing. And the ideal, I think the answer was, like I said before, it's the ideal to proceed in a different direction. You know, it's like when you go down a curvy road, you don't go straight. You go with the flow, and you also go with the motion, and you have no problem doing that. You know, you follow the road. When it curves, you turn the wheel. And it's the same thing with life. You know, when something happens, it's like realizing one thing in life, okay? We don't have to go through the obstacles. If we can figure out and realize that there's a way around it, over it or under it, we don't have to go through it. Because that in itself is a spiritual lesson or a life lesson or whatever you want to call it, of how to go around and not deal with the freaking stuff. It's like with your situation too. If it becomes the point where he doesn't want to confront it, because he keeps giving you all these compliments, and it's just irritating.
It's so irritating. Oh, my God.
It's the ideal of truth. I'm not saying you're not a fantastic, awesome person, and the compliments are not there. But see, there's so much more behind the compliments that he wants to say that he's not saying. So realistically, we're seeing deception here. We're seeing a person who refuses to express themselves because they're scared by expressing what they really feel within themselves, they're going to get the same outcome they got last time, not realizing that this person is still living in the past. So when we look at the reflection of what we're seeing in front of us, are we not doing the exact same thing too as well, living in the past because we're scared to go there too as well?
Yeah, we're doing the exact same thing. And I'm wondering, how do I take the different road? Just let it go. Just like that's what I was trying to do anyways to begin with.
Here we go. Just let it go.
Can we find a new person?
Okay, just do this. Okay, fine. Do this. Just do this. Just sit there and say, dear God, please help me let go of this situation, giving it in faith and trust to your divine wisdom and the infinite love in order to resolve and heal everyone involved. Heal everything and everyone involved. Say that every morning. Dear God, please help me let go of this situation, giving it in faith and trust to your divine wisdom and infinite love in order to resolve and heal everything and everyone involved. Okay? It's also the idea, please, it's like, dear God, Archangel Michael, please help me clearly hear, see, feel, and know the divine guidance that I have asked and prayed for. Allow me to keep my ego out of the way so your wisdom can come streaming through me for my benefit and for those around me. If you want to focus on something and the idea of the outcome, just say, dear God and Archangel Raphael, thank you for healing, or hearing and answering my prayers of this situation you know, you can sit there and spell it out if you want to. If it's between the person and you, just sit there and say, thank you for hearing and answering my prayers of me and so-and-so being together, living together, and if you'll be married, and being married. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dear God, Archangel Raphael, thank you for hearing and answering my prayers of me and so-and-so being together, me and my significant other, or you can sit there and say, me and my soulmate, or me and my twin flame, being together, living together, and being married now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you think that maybe you get a perception or maybe someone's going to call you, then sit there and say, thank you, God and angels, for hearing and answering my prayer of my significant other calling me today, which led to us being together, living together, and being married now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a very simple, direct, straight to the point of looking at these situations, okay? And then we have, dear Archangel Raphael, please help me trust my feelings as an accurate barometer of truth. Dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for helping me appreciate everything that makes me happy right now. Okay? Archangel Michael, thank you, Archangel Michael, for supporting, guiding, and protecting me as I listen to and act upon my feelings, helping me understand and express my emotions with love. Okay, here's one. Archangel Michael, please help me stay strong and relaxed as I approach this situation. Remind me to detach and step back, allowing this situation to naturally unfold. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for holding my hand through my recovery upon the path of radiant health, which emotions can really create a havoc on our health too as well. Tear our stomachs up, knots in our stomachs when we approach these situations, not realizing those are fears that are playing out and that kind of stuff, and asking yourself, why can't I not express how I really feel? And then if you are expressing exactly how you feel, ask yourself, why am I not getting the same thing back from this person? And then ask yourself, do I still have knots in my stomach? Yeah, the idea of connections and that kind of stuff have a tendency to create fear on both parts too as well.
Yeah, I only feel that when I talk to him. Nobody else. Yeah. I don't feel that with anybody else. Only with him. I get that stomach pain.
Right, and then we sit there and it's like we look at situations and stuff like that, you know? Here's one. Archangel Michael, I appreciate your support in helping me face my feelings with grace and acceptance so that I can be lovingly honest with myself and others. Thank you, Archangel Michael, for giving me courage and strength. You know, the focus, let things go. Fall into place. It's like saying if people truly love each other and that kind of stuff, and they're supposed to be together, maybe the ideal of things not falling into place is the ideal that we're just thinking it, overthinking it, pushing it, when we should be taking our control off the whole situation, letting it unfold naturally. Naturally. Here, I was looking at this one. I think this is the one. Archangel Michael, I give any worries, cares, and concerns to you in exchange for true peace in all ways. Thank you for resolving this. It's you, whatever it is, this situation of me and my soulmate twin flame returning to me, being together, living together, being married to each other now in a divinely perfect way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was going to look at a situation. I could have sworn I had another one in here somewhere. I'm trying to put it together. I got this one where it says, Archangel Michael, thank you for bringing new opportunities and offering support and for helping me release and heal my past, filling me with trust as I experience these life changes. Thank you. Where we just let go completely in the process of focusing on our own lives and the ideal goals and things we got to do. It's like the idea of looking at your situation and go, okay, what am I neglecting on? I mean, I could say in my situation, I really feel like there's a book that I need to write on relationships. I think you guys all agree with that one. But So I was sitting there going over the whole thing going, people come on the show all the time and says, all you talk about is relationships, so that's why I came here. So I was going over the whole thing, that kind of thing. So I was sitting there
anyone, so it's, you know, it's not only just a partner, but it could be your friends, it could be family members.
It's one of those situations, yeah, you're right, but I think this one here is the best one. Dear God, please help me let go of this situation, giving it in faith and trust to your divine wisdom and infinite love in order to resolve and heal everything and everyone involved. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, what are you going to do? We can also say, dear guardian angels of my soulmate, twin flame, whichever you want to go with, dear guardian angel of, use the name. Thank you for preparing us for love and for giving us the motivation to make helpful life changes, to reunite, to reconnect, to open up to the possibilities of a better relationship than we had before. Thank you for helping us recognize each other as, and have courage, you know, to recognize us to each other, of what we are to each other, and have the courage to say hello so that we can eventually devolve into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So we put these things together and go, hey, you know, then my favorite one here is too, dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for healing and guiding all my relationships upon the path of love. Can you do it? Can you do it? I think you can do it. It's like looking at the situation and saying, yes, I can be fulfilled. I love myself. I appreciate myself. In the process of some of the things we say to ourselves, we have a tendency to attract people who say the same things to us too as well. Do you care about people? More likely you do. Yes, so they're more likely you care about yourself. So it's the idea that sometimes in these situations, it's the idea of speaking one's mind, speaking the words, speaking love, and speaking what it is.
And they've been very quiet, and I think I super analyzed everything, and it's driving me nuts. I think it's just, I'm very critical of myself. So I'm always.
If you've gone over something more than three times, then you're overanalyzing. It's also something that you're going over with. It's also a part of the past. So it's the idea of letting things go.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much that I think about the past. It's irrelevant. It's the now.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, if you sit there and something happened 10 minutes ago and you've gone over it three times, you're still dwelling on the past because it's in the past.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, how can you really dwell on something that's now? Because you're living it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to sit there and catch ourselves in the idea of our perceptions and say, well, I'm not really thinking about the past. I'm just thinking about something that happened 5 minutes ago. I'm not really going over it. Yes, I've actually thought about it three or four times, but I'm not really dwelling on the past when you realistically are. It's just the idea of stopping at the moment, stopping yourself and going, hold up, no more. What's going on right now? Well, I want to go shopping. That's what's happening now. Or I want to, you know, there's something I got to do right this minute. Then you're living in the now.
Okay.
If your stomach's in knots right now and you're sitting there going, I'm thinking and wondering about the situation, ask yourself right now, if the person's not in some ways communicating with you at that moment, then there's no reason to worry about it. There's no reason to analyze it. There's no reason to go over it. It's the idea of clearing all that out. So therefore, when you guys do confront each other, maybe actually you can get somewhere this time, the idea of letting go of the past completely and cutting the cords. Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, cut the cords, heal me, whatever cords that are attached to me. Archangel Raphael, send the healing energy down the cord to the other end and heal the other person and help them let go too as well. Thank you, and thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good. Looks like a lot of talking I gotta do.
Yeah. No problem.
It helps to leave it up to, you know, other energies to kind of do the guidance when you're kind of lost yourself. So.
Oh yeah, it's okay. But see, the point is, no one ever really loses themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a detachment from themselves. But then, when you look at the situation and realize that. Detachment is good. Detaching from life, detaching from the world, helps one be who they really are and the ideal comfort of experiencing the now. That's the point. If you're sitting there talking about and tallying up money of what you're going to make, you're living in the future. If you're sitting there looking at all the things you lost or all the things that didn't pan out right, you're living in the past. And I guarantee you, at the moment that you're doing all these things, you're not living in the now. Because you're not doing what's being presented to you as in the signs of what you should be doing with your actions as in now. which is the idea mostly of looking at the situation, what you're doing, of dwelling on these situations, okay? Okay, so it's not the idea of getting angry with anybody and that kind of thing. It's just looking at people going, you know something? If you're tallying up money right now, then you are a slave to money because you think money is going to save you. You don't realize if you lose your job tomorrow, that money was your foundation. You just lost your foundation. Now you feel lost. The reason you feel lost is because you never took time to actually find out who you are and what you really want, what you really need, and what you really desire, and what are your real goals. Everybody's goal in life is to give back, and they don't realize that they get caught up in these stupid little things saying service. Service at a restaurant is slavery. Look at the freaking people who work those things. Now, if anybody's ever worked in their life purpose and done their light work and that kind of stuff, yes, we do have a tendency to experience certain things of headaches, migraines, because we don't do the work for ourselves. And once we start doing the work for ourselves, those things become a thing of the past. And then we really enjoy what we do even more. But it's the idea of preparation and doing all these things. When you work for a restaurant or you work for these kind of jobs in the sake of actually making money, you're making money for nobody else but the people you're working for. And they're throwing you back not even 10%, not even 1% of what they actually earn over a year, what they even earn for a day. They're not even giving you your right percentage. They're giving you what you're sitting there settling for. The next time I want to sit there and watch somebody on television who became famous and rich by being a waitress or by being, you know, these other jobs and stuff like that. You know, we see people struggle, and they never really get anywhere. They live from week to week. We've even seen people who are millionaires and the whole thing who have the same kind of perception, where they're always scared they're going to lose everything. And they're still living in a prison. Okay, so it's the idea of stepping outside the whole thing in the process of learning how to manifest things. And when I say things, I'm talking about relationships, careers. I mean, I have this one book, if I can find it. Sometimes I can't find these things as quick as I like to, even to the point of where the hell are they?
Well, they work all their life, and they don't make things, and that they win the lotto, and they have everything.
No, they don't.
You realize you know, the way you manifest it, you know?
The people who win the lottery, there is a very small percentage of people who win the lottery who actually are able to invest it and do something with it. On the other percentage, people still have the perception, okay, that they went into it. Mm-hmm. What that means is their perception says, I have to live from week to week. So they get stuff on credit because, see, they're caught up in materialistic bullshit where they're out there buying all kinds of stuff because they're thinking in their mind, if I buy it on credit, I can get more. Not realizing all they're doing is putting themselves into a bigger hole than what they had before they hit the lottery. These are the sections of your life. This is a book called The Alchemist Handbook. It's by a guy named John Randolph Price. It says, from an ancient formula, the secret of the ages, we find the precepts to create an ideal life where all you have ever wanted is brought into material form and physical experience. Okay? It talks about the five areas of your life. The first area is your spiritual life. Okay? It's looking at the variety of look at the various activities, the learning, the growing, and the realizations. See yourself so filled with the light of spirit that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a full and glorious manifestation of the All, God. Okay? Feel the presence, the life, the love, the power. Accept the fact that you are a spiritual being now, not in the future, but now. The completeness of God in individual expression. How do you see yourself as a spiritual being of the universe living on planet Earth? How do you see yourself? What are you saying, doing? How are you acting? Are you living with unconditional love and spiritual understanding while maintaining mastery of this world? Looking at yourself on the stage of life from the ideal spiritual perspective. That means the ideal, looking at your life and realizing that you can still be a loving, caring person. See, some people look at people like this. I'm mourning over my father dying. And if you don't, they look at you like there's something wrong with you. Not realizing, maybe you have a perception of realizing just passed over. So he's in a better place right now or where he's supposed to be at. So it's not a loss. It's not a loss. It's a passing on. He's lived his life. He's gone on. Even with the situation of accidents, like the shooting that happened here in Aurora and stuff like that, the one thing we have to look at the situation is we can mourn until doomsday. Mm-hmm. They're not coming back. And if we really open up to the situation, I almost guarantee that you could probably pick up on them and get a different situation of everything else by communicating with them to understand that maybe they're on the other side and they understand why it happened, why it did. And we're all sitting here as human beings when we should be looking at everything from a spiritual trail, a spiritual point of view, is saying, you know something? Everything happens for a reason. Okay? Some people sit there and say, you know, it's mean to look at people and say they didn't listen to their guidance. I think it's mean not to say it, because from my point of view, how can I say anything other because of what I've experienced in my life by listening to my angels and guides and the things I have avoided, of things that haven't happened to me, that my life was fantastic and it keeps getting better and better by listening to the guidance. And then one thing, when I don't listen to the guidance, that's when things happen in a bad, unfavorable way. It's also the idea of looking at people and saying, walk away from them. If they're sitting there playing games with you and that kind of stuff, they're only playing games with themselves. And realistically, they do love you. They still care about you. They care about you so much and love you so much. They're just scared of those feelings. So they have a tendency to play games and keep it on the surface and do it in a human way. But they were doing it in a spiritual way. They would realize that feeling of overwhelmness is really created by an intense, real love that they never have really experienced, which tells them at that moment in life, they just fell deeply in love with somebody for the real and the very first time. So therefore, what they thought they knew what love was, they didn't. And all those experiences behind them, they need to let go of those experiences and realizing that all those experiences just brought them to a point actually finding true love, finding one person in their lives that truly loves them, and asking themselves, what am I doing throwing this away in favor of going out there and fucking everybody or having these stupid relationships, realizing I'm still not fulfilled. There's something about it I'm missing.
You're talking just about him. I mean, you described him to a T.
With the situation, you know, you sit there and look at the situation, you just look at yourself and you say, you know something? I'm that person that they fell in love with. So therefore, that's a confirmation for me. I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right thing. So therefore, by walking away from the situation and refusing to communicate with those people until they get their acts together, I want to see it too. And they're going to realize that the reason you walked away from the situation is because you did. And then hopefully a realization happens to the point where they come back. Okay, that's number one, spiritual life. That was a lot of unwitting. Okay, number two is your service to others as a true success in life, okay? Success is not making money. Success is not making freaking $16 an hour. Success is realizing your worth, your service to the planet is to improve the planet, not to feed some people at Golden Corral or at Arby's. Or wherever you're doing your freaking thing. I mean, I should get off the idea about waitressing, but I think waitressing... I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Waitressing is nothing but slavery.
That's true.
See what these girls make. They sit there tallied up, right? I'm making $16 an hour. I'm sitting there going, yeah, and you get taxed. They're 3% on all of those taxes. Okay. So I can see when payday happens, they're going, is it really worth it of standing on your feet for 16 hours a day? Is it really worth getting a dollar tip or 35 cents? Because the percentage is what you're adding up. That's the percentage. But in actuality of money, the government's getting more. The people you're working for are getting more. And you're getting like 0.1%. Okay? Now let's look at people who are doing what they're doing for the service of life. I'm not trying to brag or nothing. I'm trying to make a dip to make a point. I make $125 a reading. For an actual 75-minute reading, I get $125. Now, of course, I love giving people business breaks, and I work with anybody in their budget, okay? And when I work on a random, I make over $1,000 every pay period. Okay, so if you're all out there thinking, and there's a friend of mine out there thinking right now, I'm not trying to be mean to this person or not. I'm just saying This is what happens when you live your life purpose. A year ago, I was working for a carnival. I was struggling with my mom and the whole bit because I was trying to get approval from my parents, my family, and my friends, and all the kind of stuff like that. Until I walked away from the situation and realized, you know something? I don't have to justify or please anybody or tell anybody what I do and try to get them to actually see what I do and actually appreciate and support me and actually respect me for what I'm doing, because they're not going to do it. They was never happy unless I was working my ass off, dying in a freaking job or something like that. And then they're like, oh, now you're living the real life. And really, God, I slapped myself on that one about 10, 6 times. But I also saw in those situations, too, that I also manifested things so easily. So therefore, I decided to say, what would happen if I put myself 100% into this profession, in this career? Because no matter where I went, I was always doing readings. I was always on palm readings. People were always gravitating to me, and they always said there was something about me. It was different. And as soon as I said that I do readings and stuff like that, they said, that's what it is. You're a light worker. And they could tell exactly what's going on. So therefore, then I started putting in perspective, listening to my guides. My guide said, charge this, this, and this, and this. Why? Because you have worth. And as soon as I realized what my worth was, that I was worth and my services were worth, and the idea of what I was worth, because people come and tell me about all this fantastic stuff, to the point one day I said, you know something? I have to sit there and start believing what people tell me, because it happens on a daily basis, to the point where I understand this, to realize that we do have worth, because even what I was doing and all the stuff that was happening to me, there was still that little inkling that says, you know something? I'm not sure about this. And the idea of the thing we've been taught, be modest. I never realized that you can be modest and still be your full potential, who you are, and ask for what you want. Because it even says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. So as soon as you ask, you're going to live it, man. You know, the idea, it says in the Bible, every good thing will come to you. Stand still, every good thing will come to you. Stand still. So therefore, why do they keep calling this New Age stuff? It's not New Age. It's over thousands of years old. I think it's about time we start living it, and then we start talking and living our life. So what I do is I sit there and put my prices the way they are. I live it, and then I forget all about it. And then I start focusing on being successful at what I do. So every day I go out there and say, oh, I don't know, on a random. I sit there and say, okay, today I'm going to do 10 readings. Why? Because I can and I will, so be it, so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God and angels, for my 20 readings I did today on ZMC, wherever I work at, this kind of thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I have a tendency to look at things and go, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I also sit here and put it in perspective and saying, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good. So be it, so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I sit here and have my prayers where I say, God, help me let go. And then I go right to work, and I just work. You know, I go in the situation, wherever I'm at, I'm there. And I be there. And so it's like, look at the situation and tell everybody, okay, if you don't want to be a part of my life and you don't want to experience all this kind of stuff, then, shame on you. The cop in the situation of being shamed on me because I'm not living my life and not doing what I'm supposed to do, that therefore when things start falling into place, it's my own fault because I've been focusing on where I should be at. And also sitting down and going, every good thing I desire comes to me, and living my life accordingly and saying, okay, so therefore if all these good things start happening to me, like I said before, I moved from Ohio. I know everything's increased tenfold just by following my guidance, which told me that if I move here, and it was kind of a crazy thing too. When I moved here, I sit here and say, okay, God, angels, I went to Colorado the first time, and it didn't cost me nothing, and I deserve to have the same opportunity. My mom came to me about a week later and said, since you didn't have your brother's house, I said, you gave it. I also put it out there, my intentions. I told her flat out, I think I deserve $500 for helping my brother for 3 or 4 months on his house, and I deserve a bus ticket back to Colorado. She came to me a week later and said, we agree. After I said what I said, okay, so therefore it didn't cost you nothing to come back to Colorado. I could take all the money I had saved up, come back here on a shoestring, get a hotel room, which was kind of funny that once I came back here, every time I got myself into a situation, as long as I was willing to let go of it, it always fell into my lap. I was sitting there one day saying I need $125 for my hotel room on the day it was due and didn't have any money in my hands at all. No money in my accounts, no nothing. And I'm sitting in the hotel going, okay, I thought I let it go. My guys are saying, no, you haven't let it go. What would you normally be doing right now? I said, I'd probably go to the gym. And then they said, go to the gym. You're going to see something happen if you go to the gym. So I went to the gym. As I was on the bus going to the gym, a prompting came to me and said, call this guy. I'm like, I don't want to call this guy. I think I should be getting a reading to make the money to get my freaking, you know, get the money. And they, and then prompting came to me like three times, my guidance. It's like I'm listening. So I finally said, okay, fine. I called him. So I called my friend up. I said, I hate to say this. I said, I hate to ask, but could you give me $125? He says, done. I was like, I about fell off my seat.
It was that easy, huh?
Yeah, so I sit here and said, so we were on the bus and we went to this bad area where I lost signal, right? I lost signal, and then he calls me, he said, because the last thing he said was, as soon as I get to a computer, it'll be done. Okay, so he gets the computer, so we get cut off, right? Well, I get down there and he calls me back and he says, oh, I sent your money to you. But he said, I didn't send you $125. Because what happened was, when we got cut off, right, I just said, nonchalantly said, okay, I just nonchalantly said, well, that was kind of easy. Maybe I should ask for $150.
Oh, my God.
Right? So he calls me back, and he says, I didn't send you $125. I said, you didn't? He says, no, I sent you $150.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at the situation when you put yourself in your service, in your life, and your kind of thing like that. So if you're a person out there was actually living it, doing it, and you miss it, I guarantee you if you would have stuck with it, you were on the threshold of finding your purpose and finding out where you fit in. Won't you ask yourself, why'd you walk away? If you're working as humans do, because humans, all they do is work from week to week, and they never get anywhere. It's one of those people who even, and there's people out there who work the 9-to-5 jobs, but if you sit there and look at their perceptions, who have all these things, you're trying to figure out how they get it, and you don't get it, and you're doing the same thing, it's because of your perception. A lot of those things came to them because, not because they have a job, because people say that a lot too. I cannot make no money if I don't have no job. Really? I'm sitting in a freaking apartment full of furniture that I only pay for four pieces, and there's like maybe 30 pieces here. Even a brand new television. Okay, which I didn't pay for. I paid for my computer. I paid for my desk I got it on. I paid for the chair I'm sitting in. I paid for my vacuum cleaner. And that's it. I have a fantastic area that I do for my readings. It's an oak coffee table. Readings. I have two chairs that were given to me, really nice, expensive chairs. I have fold-out chairs for anything additional. I have another coffee table I use for my other stuff. I was also given a shelf. A bed, pots and pans, and all kinds of stuff. And someone actually gave me two lamps. They're matching lamps. So I have one living room, one in my bedroom. They match. They're beautiful lamps. And I did pay for the curtains. But I'm just saying, the idea is once you open up your life, okay, once you open up your life to all the possibilities, you open all the windows and doors, that's when the miracles start happening, and things just start popping and falling in your lap. Okay, when you sit here and look at the situation, what's one thing I always tell everybody? It's like this, dummies. Listen to what I'm saying. These are my life stories. So therefore, I'm not just preaching it. I'm experiencing it and living it every day. So I lived in a hotel room for almost 2 months. And then one day I said, I need to go get it. I need an apartment. I want an apartment. I want to live in an apartment. I want to live in a one-bedroom apartment. A week later, I was living in a one-bedroom apartment, and then I didn't pay for it for almost 2 weeks. So, therefore, the things that we say we can't be done happen all the time. And yeah. It's like I look at all the time, so don't be jealous. Look at the possibilities. Okay, that's service. Service says, you know, see yourself adding your piece of the puzzle, bringing your individuality, contribution to the divine plan. The angels... So service and synthesis, once said in meditation, find which offers you the greatest personal satisfaction. Get it to your head, guys, personal satisfaction. If you're doing something that irritates the hell out of you and you can't figure out how come you can't get it done and how it's not working for you and how the whole thing is all just a chore, a job, a ritual, some kind of rigor mortis, okay, then you're not really working what really gives you the greatest personality, greatest satisfaction. You're not. It's the idea of what makes you feel good, what makes put into so. If you've done psychic readings and you're doing spiritual work and you loved it, but you didn't think you could make money on it, then you walk away from it prematurely because you can. And I'll prove it to you. I'm living in an apartment. I'm living my life. And the only thing I do is this. I do readings, spirituality. I do the show. This is not a free show. This is a paid show, which I pay for. I pay my rent. I go out and do what I got to do, the whole thing like that. Go back and forth traveling. This fall, I'm going to traveling, you know, certain things like that kind of stuff. And this is my base of operation. The idea of being in Colorado, to me, I look at it as a miracle place, and it happened. And all I had to do was accept the opportunities to do so. You think I'm going to sit there and go, a freaking bus ticket? I don't take charity. I know, but I do accept my manifestations when they become physical. Okay? So I said something earlier that week. It basically manifested itself just the way it did. I mean, the money that was given to me was money for services, of course. But it was given to me. The bus ticket was given to me. Everything fell into place. So therefore, it was an opportunity that came over and over again. Do it. Because your life and better and better. Okay, so therefore we look at the situation of developing the skill and action to use that proficiency, good, not necessarily for a global perspective. All activities go into the stream of life at the point of individual contribution. Okay, so if you're sitting there working at a restaurant, I hate to say restaurants, but it's the first thing that pops in my head. If you're working at a restaurant, all you're doing is contributing to, okay, you're just contributing to what's going on at that moment. And you're probably going to sit there and say, well, that's a service in some ways. But how are you really contributing to the world? Mm-hmm. Still, you're in pain and you are a person who is a slave. Think about this. What are you really contributing to the world? You are contributing to the mass consciousness that says we have to suffer, that we have to do these kind of things in order to become successful. And then ask yourself, and I was sitting there talking about you women. If you're sitting there putting makeup on and you're doing all this other kind of stuff to get yourself in a situation of getting more tips, then all you're doing is becoming a hooker who works at a restaurant. Because you're dressing yourself up to get more money. So you're selling your body. Plain and flat out, you're selling your body. And the reason I'm saying this is not to be insulted. It's the idea of showing you that you are a priceless being. You are a priceless person. And the idea, I guarantee within you, there's something about you that you're scared of going out and living to the point where you're sitting in there doing the thing of saying, this is easier. Not realizing that if there's something within yourself, even if it's fame or if it's the idea of wanting to be successful, if you're sitting there wanting to make more and more and more money, all you're doing is putting yourself into a situation, a cycle, that could be a little bit hard to break. Not impossible. It's the idea of coming to that realization, of course. But the idea of the situation is you don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to sell yourself. It's the idea of realizing that you are special, gifted, talented person who has something to contribute to global masses by you going out there and helping and giving service. See, service realistically is the ideal of you contributing to other human beings' well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You look at certain things that we do as in slavery, all you're doing is you have a master. So therefore, you're a slave to your master, which means you're not listening to the master self, which is you and your guides and your angels. All right.
So I agree. The only thing is like when, and I don't know if this happened to you when you started, but like for me, I used to do Reiki on people, and I would never charge. And And I would always, you know, my friends were saying, well, isn't that a service? Why don't you chart? And I felt guilty. I felt like, well, I'm getting this, you know, this light. It's just, we're born with it and we're just sharing, you know, just God's love. So why would I be charging for it? So I had a hard time, and to the point where I stopped doing it altogether. I just never done it again. You know, I let it go. And I have been thinking about it again, doing Reiki again and do crystal healing and stuff like that. You know, I've got this fear. Well, what if it just, you know, what if it doesn't work? Maybe I should just keep staying in school and getting my degree and not focusing on that spiritual side. But did you have that sort of, like, insecurity when you started?
It was a lot of people just really, it's more like the idea of people looking at you and saying that this is a gift and you shouldn't be charging for it. I said, really? Are you the same person who walks out there and gets a Michael Jackson album and you pay for his service? Okay, he just made $50 million last year. Well, this was when he signed with Sony, and he did this other stuff. I can't remember what it was. And I was sitting there going, here you guys are. You are a contradiction. You're saying that I can't charge for my service and the idea to people, but Michael Jackson, you have no problem going out there and paying sometimes $18 for a CD, you know. And also, going, when you go to a freaking show in Vegas or you go anywhere, you pay for someone to entertain you. That's their service to you, to entertain you.
That's true.
So when we start, so I sit there and I went through these things all the time. I had a guy, I remember when I had my first, and this one person, this lady walked in and asked me how much it was. And I was kind of like, it happened so quick. When you start doing stuff realistically, when you put yourself in that situation and you really start realizing you do have worth, and people, and this lady walked in and said, how much is it? I said, $25 for 15 minutes. And she's like, it's not worth it. And I said, well, I'll tell you why it is. And I went into this freaking thing and say, I did this. I've done this for so long and all this other stuff and that kind of stuff like that. When I sit down with you, when I sit down and do a 15-minute reading with you, you're actually taking, you're actually getting the full advantage of all those years of experience, all the things I've gone through. So therefore, it can help you keep from going through those situations where you can actually divert things, and you can learn quicker in like 5 minutes instead of what I had to go through in 10 years.
Very true.
I went over this thing for like 20 minutes with this lady, and she looked at me. And she goes, "Okay, well, I don't have $25." I was like, "Well, but the thing is."
We're sorry, man.
See, the thing was, but yeah, but see, the realization was when she said, I don't have $25, she didn't say, she didn't ever say again that she couldn't, it wasn't worth it. She just said she didn't have $25. So when you look at the situation, what are people really doing when they try to make you feel guilty? Aren't they trying to get something for free? And aren't they being disrespectful, not just to you, being disrespectful to themselves? Because in the process of looking at us as having worth, we're also looking at you investing money in yourself in the process of us sitting down and working together. And that's why we need to look at this situation, okay? I also wanted to sit here and point out something on the third thing here where it talks about the idea of your physical body. Okay? The physical body is very important. Because, and the idea of having balance within your life, okay? It says, remember that what you shall, remember that what you see, you shall become. So begin to visualize yourself, your body, exactly as you want it to be. Okay? Impregnate in your mind, in a creative mind, only the wholeness, health, and well-being as you see the perfect image of your physical system. Now, you sit here and see if you focus on this, focusing in a spiritual way to actually bring the body into a nice wholeness, healthy, and well-being. So you see what you're doing at that moment is you're actually creating balance between the physical and the spiritual. So you see how important the body is?
Mm-hmm. Very.
So we look at the situation. If you're working a job and you're tearing your body down, are you really doing anything to build it up? And are you really learning anything spiritually within the situation where you put yourself? If you're working as a waitress or working in a restaurant or working in those kind of things, like I said before, you're just working for the sake of money. And even if you're not working for the sake of money, ask yourself how much balance is in that situation too as well. Because realistically, if you look at it, if you're tearing your body down and you're not doing anything to build it back up, then all you're going to do is put yourself in a state of overwork. And your mind is also going to do the same thing at the point of burning yourself out. And then all you're going to be doing every freaking day is burning yourself out more and more and more to the point where you will, so it's like looking at the situation people taking freaking drugs to keep going, not realizing all you're doing in this freaking lifestyle you've chosen is to prove one thing, that you have no worth, that you don't care about yourself. All you care about is to make money, make money, make money. And it sickens me to the point where I'm sick of it. I guess that makes sense, right? And again, it's like this, trying to understand a person on a spiritual quest of helping people to actually tap into their full potential. It's look at these situations of overeating, all these other things. The one thing people say is, you'll be taking jobs away from people. And I say, you are so full of it. In the process of eliminating all these things, we can also help people also tap into their full potential and their full worth, and their who they are rises way above this. The ideal consumption of food also has a tendency on a global scan, if we could get focused on that situation, of showing people one thing. The consumption is caused by a lack of fulfillment.
Yeah.
Okay, so there what's going to happen in the process of a spiritual transformation across the globe and people actually focusing on these situations? I'll tell you one thing about the idea of living in Atlantis. We didn't have obesity. And we didn't have emotional problems. We didn't have psychologists, counselors. We didn't have these things because it was all in a spiritual life, on a spiritual level of understanding and realizing how nature works, how life works, where it all coexists as one another. And society worked together as a whole. In the process of creating such positive energy, we were also able to take that positive energy, create an energy source, and also powered society to the point of great technology was actually created beyond your imagination. Cell phones are primitive. In the society of Atlantis, a cell phone would be considered, stones and rock.
Mm-hmm.
Stones. Primitive weapons. Just like we see in our primitive lifestyle here. It's the idea of realizing that in a society of spiritual development to the point where telepathic abilities, who needs a cell phone? You tap on your forehead, you know where the temples are? Kind of tap on your, trying to tap on that little section right there. And you can communicate like a cell phone. You can dial up, let's talk to Sharon. You know? It's the idea of toning in to a certain frequency, a certain energy, which a cell phone does. But see, the technology in Atlantean's way was the ideal to enhance society, not to be a crutch, not to take away from who we are. Because if you sit and look at the ideal of communication, look at the ideal of entertainment, all these things, we allow mechanic devices to do for us, realizing we are very capable of doing these things ourselves. I mean, it's been said that you could actually, supposedly from the information I found, that someone has actually realized the Atlanteans did store information on crystals and has actually found crystals that seem to be encrypted with information. It's just the ideal of trying to figure out how to get the information out of the crystals. So, you know.
That would be amazing. Imagine to get out of those things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You look at the technology now, and you're looking at the ideal that here we are, we have information encrypted on a crystal that we can't tap into. We think so far advanced. You know, I'm sorry, but I have a tendency to look at people and, you know, I just sort of look at these things going, you know something, we should be further along than this. And the idea of realizing what these things do for us, what they take away, people don't communicate no more. I mean, people are hiding behind taxes and everything like that. I mean, me personally, I wish someone would turn the switch off and show people who they really are and what they're really capable of doing and the ideal of not just surviving, but actually thriving because of their individuality. Not because realistically, let's put it this way, if you're trying to find yourself and you catch yourself on the computer on any kind of link of communicating with people or texting or playing games or doing anything, and it's one of those things that you... That's why I get so angry about people talking about age. Age has nothing to do with it. It's maturity. Because I've actually, like I said before, I've actually talked to people that are 27, 37, 47, and I've actually found the same mentality. So what's that got to do with it? Nothing.
Nothing to do with it.
That
happened to me today where, you know, I got so frustrated. I kept getting a text from a guy, and I said, look, I don't want to talk on a text because things get misconstrued, and it's just a waste of time. When you got time, call me. He hasn't called me since. But it's like, I'm not going to sit here and waste my time all day trying to text. I mean, give me a five-minute call. You'll probably get more information from me than from a text because I really hate texting. People just don't want to do. Why is it so difficult to pick up the phone and call somebody nowadays?
It's not. It's called hiding. And I don't want to deal with emotions. I get here, you know, it's like I said, I look at people all the time saying, you know, I'm very verbal, very straightforward, and the idea of the situation is trying to figure out how to. I was sitting there, it's just, I don't know, sometimes it just baffles me. It just seems like society wants to bitch and complain about being miserable, but then they don't want to do anything about it. They don't want to sit there and just go out there and love unconditionally and say yes.
They're hiding. They're always hiding. People are always hiding. It's like a nonstop situation. They'll find excuses after excuses. And to me, it's like I've gone to the point where just like excuses. This is your problem, your obstacles, not mine. And so I won't feed into it. I won't buy into it. You know, if you can't, like I'm already working on my own self. I don't need to be working with your problem. So
right.
You know, the door is open. If you want to talk to me, fine. If not, then there's the door for you to get back out. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I was sitting there.
With friends in general, you know, I just do it with everybody because I've learned enough now to know that if you are not willing to communicate, then you just can't change, you can't change anybody. You can only change yourself.
Yeah, I was sitting there reading this one thing, too, where it talks about use your active imagination now and see yourself doing your part to make this a better world, providing assistance to others without infringing on their independence and promoting a sense of cooperation and unity among people. If you look at the ideal restaurants, every freaking day you will be in a situation where you are infringing upon your independence and you're infringing upon your promotion of sense of cooperation and unity among yourself. Because you don't believe in yourself, that you can actually do something on a great scan. Okay, it says here, success is a natural order of the universe, wholly ordained by God as a force for good to replace the effects of this world with divine reality, to transform failure to fulfillment, lack to abundance, illness to wholeness, and discord to harmony as the power moves through us to accomplish and achieve in accordance with the law of being, okay? So therefore, we put our tent out there, but then we have to sit back and use the law of being, which means just be who you are. Now, if you look at the situation where it says success is a natural order of the universe, if you're sitting there saying that if you're saying God doesn't love you and doesn't care about you and doesn't want such a the whole thing, you look at your life sucks. And you're sitting there saying God doesn't love you, so it's God's fault. When God actually gave you dominion, how is it God's fault? God can't make you use your God-given abilities to do what you're supposed to do. You know, he can't kick you in the ass. He's given you also free will. So therefore, you've taken your free will, made a choice to put yourself in slavery. But you can also take your free will and take yourself out of it and live your life purpose. I'm sorry, guys, but these jobs were created for one thing, to enslave women, which is the most weirdest thing is you guys fought for so long for your independence, you put yourself in situations of slavery. Interesting. And here I am, a male, trying to help you get out of it and tell yourself you are so much more than that job. I will sit here and say congratulations on getting the job. Congratulations on your success and what you've created. But you're going to get tired of doing the same thing every freaking day, every freaking week, every freaking month.
Mm-hmm.
It's an endless cycle that does nothing but destroy you spiritually, emotionally. Look, I have had people that just bitch. Yeah, that freaking dude, he stole my tips. Oh, that person didn't give me any tips. Oh, that person gave you 35. Let's listen to yourself. Bitch, bitch, bitch. And your life keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And then you go back. Well, I make $16 an hour. Yeah? How about this? How about if I can help you tap into your abilities and show you that you can make $1,000 a week helping other people at the same time helping yourself? What would that mean to you? What would that be worth? And then ask yourself, if you're scared to take that chance, also ask yourself, what are you scared of? You say you want to find yourself. You want to find who you are. I guarantee you, if you sit there and put yourself completely into your life purpose, you will find one thing. You will find more of you. And more of you. And you're going to feel good about yourself to the point where you are the person in certain situations are going to be giving the big tips. You're going to be feeling so good, you're going to pay somebody an extra $10 for helping you out. You're going to sit there and take the situation one step further and help somebody out for no charge at all, because you're so freaking successful that you put yourself in a situation, a position, that you can help somebody who just crossed your path, who doesn't have the ability to get to actually pay for your services, but you can still give that service and feel good about yourself because you do. And then go back in the process of realizing the reason you charge people for what you do is because you have worth, which also instills in them that they have worth as well. And then you've started a chain reaction, a very positive chain reaction, by being the black sheep of the family, that you've just changed the world. Four people have just changed positively because of your positive actions and your positive decision to live your life purpose. So what you going to do? Are you going to go back and work and kill yourself? Or are you going to put yourself in your situation of living your life purpose? Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's doing readings for people. Ask yourself. If you sit there and you were doing readings or palm readings or something like that, and you were sitting on a park bench somewhere and you were just happy and ecstatic because you were picking up all these things about people and bringing some things out, and those people walking away with their smile on their faces because you helped them out to find something about themselves, I guarantee you also found something out about yourself. And I think you should sit there and ask yourself, I think it's time for me to live my life purpose and say to myself, I'm going to help the world. So, because this is the way it works, guys. When you make these choices, it's a healing within yourself. And when you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. It starts with one person at a time. Why not make that person you? Because I guarantee you, by you making the decision to do what you know you need to do and what you want to do and what you love to do, it's going to also encourage someone else to do the same thing. That person's going to encourage someone else to do the same thing. And just by making the decision, that's just started a positive, phenomenal way of changing this world for the better. So keep that in mind too as well. Okay? And then we're going to sit here and focus on number four, which is it's like your finances, okay? It says you are as rich as you can imagine and as wealthy as you can feel. The universe puts no limit on your financial well-being, but money for money's sake is not the objective. And that's what you're doing. Like I said before, all you're doing is heading down a freaking very vicious road. It's going to do nothing but really tear you up emotionally, physically, and it's not going to net you really anything. In the long run, it's going to cost you everything you got. Look at people who work for these kind of things. They're always struggling to make the rent. They feel good about, I got this money in my pocket. But as soon as the season ends, there's no more money. But I've seen the situation of manifestation. Manifestation can net you anything you want to. So it's the ideal. Manifest a career. In the process of manifesting a career, manifest an income that far exceeds your income. But it also far exceeds your wants, needs, and desires. So therefore, your wants, needs, and desires are always taken care of to the point where you really don't have any. Sounds like a pretty thing to me. It says, how will you live? What will you have with an all-sufficiency of funds at your disposal? Because, see, people focus on income, but maybe what they should be really focusing on is the ideal, an unlimited flow of abundance, prosperity, money, opportunities coming into their lives. Unlimited, because the ideal of a lifetime is the ideal, it's got to be a continuous thing. Okay? So first, imagine yourself as totally debt-free and capture the intensity, feeling of joy and owing no one anything but love. Ponder this sense of freedom for a moment, okay? Really ponder this. I'm telling you right now, ponder, ponder, ponder. The ideal, taking your perception and putting yourself in a frame of mind and saying, okay, I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to pay for it in full. So therefore, I can walk in my home and be with and just be caught up in the thrill. It's 100% paid for, free and clear. This can happen, okay? Everybody wants to sit there and teach people how to sit there and take their income and actually pay off their houses quicker. When actually we take it one step further, the idea of focusing and saying, are you living your life purpose? Maybe if you did live your life purpose, then you could actually go buy a house and pay for it. Go buy a car. Put yourself in that frame of mind of saying, not paying payments. Payments is a human concept, a materialistic concept. And you're probably going to sit there and say, hey, you know something, you're talking about buying a car and a house. Aren't those materialistic? But you're doing it in a spiritual sense of saying, I want a home. Thank you, God and angels, for my home, which is paid for free and clear. Thank you for this nice vehicle that I drive around. I love the thrill of knowing it's 100% paid for. I'm sorry, guys, but these are possible. You can do this. If you want to live in an apartment, imagine yourself walking in to get an apartment. Not paying for the first month and the last month's rent and deposit, but actually paying for a year. Boom, hello, I want to live in this apartment. I love the scene. I love what's out. Here's the money, $1,200, $12,000. Boom, I'm paid up for the year. Do you know that my bills right now on my laptop is paid 3 months in advance? 3 months. My Skype is paid up a year in advance. Okay? My rent is paid like a month in advance. And I'm focusing more and more and more of getting these things to the point where everything is paid and I keep focusing on giving myself freedom. I am financially independent, which means everything I focus on happens just like that. So therefore, I do imagine myself being rich as I can imagine. I am worth $10 million. And it seems like every time I keep focusing on, I'm becoming $10 million richer. $10 million richer. My income just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And like I said before, it's not the idea of bragging. It's the idea of pointing out to everybody, I've gone from making, when I was working on a random, I went from making, my first paycheck was like $65. Now I'm, right now in this pay period, I'm about $45 away from making $1,000. Last pay period is actually a combination of both, but it's a pay period, okay? $1,553. So when you start looking at these situations, okay, I haven't hit the millions, right? But it sure seems like I'm on a good track to get there. And also with the situation, if I can do it, you can do it. I guarantee you I can do it. The reason I come on this show to promote myself, because I can teach you these techniques. I can teach you anything you want to. I can tap into your abilities. I can sit there and show you how to get worth. To understand, because see, it's not the ideal of helping you to get worth. It's the idea of pinpointing you've already had that worth. It's just the idea of acknowledging it, that you are this fantastic person because you are a spiritual being. You can't be nothing but this fantastic, awesome person. Don't let the things that have happened to you human-wise, don't let the things that have happened to your body keep you from thinking otherwise that you're not, because the spirit is perfect. The spirit is whole. Everything about you is whole, complete, and just awesome. Okay? So don't look at the body and say, well, I'm not. The body has nothing to do with it. It's like looking at your Mustang and someone smacked the fender and you're sitting there going, I guess I'm just not worth. I have no worth now because my car just got smashed. When you do the same thing with your body, you're doing the exact same thing. When you ask your body, what should I do? It's like walking out to your Mustang and saying, hey, should I go out with this guy? Don't be surprised if the Mustang doesn't say anything. but that's the whole thing. It's like looking here. It says, now feel what it means to have all the money you will ever need for the rest of your life. How does it feel to be wealthy? Wealth, in the spiritual sense, becomes a different concept, a different definition of what wealth is to help you understand you are an abundant, prosperous, wealthy person. When, you know, like I look at people in my life and I look them in the face and it's like I can see the essence of who you are. So So it's the idea of looking at God and seeing perfection. And then I have the tendency to look at you and say, why can't you see the perfection in yourself if I can see it? But it also started with me, too, realizing of what I am, who I am, and what I do. And the idea of realizing that self-worth, I can also look at you and say, you are a fantastic, awesome person. Look at you. You're special. You're awesome. You're gifted. You're talented. We all are. We have to stop letting the body dictate to us. You know, if you were sexually molested, you're still allowing your body to dictate the success in your life by saying, I was traumatized. When realistically, spiritual-wise, the soul has never been touched. Because there's something within yourself that wants to have those great things in your life, wants the great relationships, the fantastic stuff that goes along with it. So the soul is basically telling you, which is you, at those moments when you're sitting there tapping into your spirit of the things that you want, need, desire, you're tapping into who you are. You're tapping into that self you've been looking for, not realizing that you've already found it. It's the idea of letting that come out and become what it is. When you see people out there doing this fantastic work, and you look them in the face and you're saying, oh, you're awesome, you're great, it's a reflection back at you about yourself and who you are too. So don't underestimate yourself, okay? It says bring the idea, and this is what they talk about, the situation of homes, why it's so important. It says you are simply assuming the role that has been yours since the beginning of creation. So put on the mantle of wealth and wear it. No pride, no problem, honesty. Yeah. You are simply assuming the role that it has been yours since the beginning of time. You are a noble soul, a resident of the kingdom, a divine expression of the abundance of God. Experience in the mind of graciousness and harmony and beauty. If someone's out there telling you Lucifer is a good guy and that kind of stuff, and he's taking you away from the idea of what God is, God created everything, even Lucifer. Okay? God created everything. That's why it says in the Bible, no gods before me. He's not saying the ideal gods don't exist. He's also saying, go to the source. Okay? And the idea of working with these other people, these entities, and that kind of thing like that, see the positiveness of them. To sit there and say one entity loves you more, you're saying to yourself, there's a lack of self-worth within you and the idea of loving yourself. Because see, the one thing it says in these situations of creating all these things, it's saying God is telling you that you are this fantastic, awesome entity, this being. You were created that way. Okay? If anybody tells you anything and saying, oh, that person's fault or God doesn't love you, that is outside. That's external. They're taking you away from you. They're taking you away from your inner essence of who you are, which will tap you into the God essence, tap you into God, so therefore you realize you've always been one and the same. When you love God, you love yourself. When you love yourself, you love God. It goes back and forth. I am love. I am the I am, which is God, which means I am God. Okay? I am love. I am love. I am love. I am love. You're not sitting there trying to rise yourself above anything or anyone. You're just claiming who you are in the process of the presence of who you are. Okay? But it also says the ideal, sitting there looking at the situation, also bringing your ideal home into mind, because the home is basically the center. Or you could sit there and look at the ideal, your sanctuary. If we look at the movies, Superman has a sanctuary where he goes to when he wants to get away from the world. And that's what the home is. It's your sanctuary away from everything, so you can shut the world off when you want to, and the ideal of just being, where you don't have to give or do anything at that moment to the world. You can take that time and give to yourself. And when you give that time to yourself, when you're ready to go back out in the world, you are able to be yourself. Okay? It says, I mention the home here is because it's important, symbolically as your state of consciousness. And it's been said that most people consider your mind, your subconscious mind in some ways, when you dream, if you're dreaming about a house or a home, basically what you're dreaming about is your life. And the rooms represent different sections of your life. So see how the home also falls into place again, sitting there telling you all these things again and over and over. Okay, so therefore the home is very important, sanctuary. Sanctuary is one of those things that you really want to go to and have a great time. All right? So put those things together and put the whole thing. So a home is a home that is in good condition with many loving, well-appointed rooms suggests a dreamer who is healthy and serene. a house that is airy, bright, cheerful, uncluttered, and reasonably well organized suggests a dreamer with those same characteristics. So you see how important it is. It says the ideal home impresses upon basically the idea. It talks about the feminine principles, which is actually the active in consciousness and then the outer, the physical manifestation. It's one of those things that keeps expanding, too, that why people have a tendency to really look at things, and the idea of going from apartments and houses and that kind of stuff is the idea of expanding on basically themselves, of expression, that it kind of expresses within your home of who you are. Some people have a tendency to be cluttered or hoarders. Now, this is a manifestation of their most fears. But a person who has a house that's clear, airy, things are organized and that kind of stuff also represents a person who has wants, needs, and desires too, but it's also structured and disciplined. It's also spiritual and emotional balance. So things flow within one's home. Okay, there's also the other one, and it says keep expanding your vision, deepening your feelings as you capture the true meaning of living richly and blissfully. Okay, so it's the ideal. Most of us are really striving to actually work at home now. The reason we want to work at home now is the ideal of what we put ourselves into in the process of going out into a negative world. So therefore, in the process of trying to create a positive world, we're actually creating positive situations to work. Now, some people have a tendency to do with their work environment too. So I'm not saying you can't do that. But they're also doing what they want to do. Like a person's an engineer or a manager, they're doing what they really want to do. So therefore, they take the steps to manifest the environment, the people, the positions, and everything that goes along with it. So just keep that in mind, too, is what, you know, what you're going to do. But the idea of having a career and having a business of your own and then going back to working in a restaurant or anything working for somebody, you're going to have, you know, it's like really one of those things that's really hard to do. And if you find yourself throwing yourself into it, or if you find yourself on Facebook saying any kind of way of saying things are not exactly the way you want them to, I guarantee you money is not going to change anything. I've seen too many people who have money. I've seen too many people who have hit the lottery, and their fears have a tendency to manifest in bigger ways. So the money just expanded on the insecurity. So let's look at this situation here. Number five. This is the number five section of your life, which is relationships. So see meaningful scenes of harmony, harmonious interactions with others, of loving, playing, and being with the perfect mate, the ideal circle of friends, and the family members who contribute to your happiness and use of theirs, which means also what the contributing means, supportive, being supportive of each other. Not telling each other how what you've chosen to do you can't be successful at. You know, that's one thing someone said the other day, family is so important. You know, sometimes family can be the one component that keeps you from doing anything you want to. There's a book out there I read, it was called 10 Stupid Things Women Do That Mess Up Their Lives. Chapter 9 says family and friends, using family and friends as excuses to keep yourself from where you really want to be at, to have the success you want, and the mate that you want to be with. Okay? So I was sitting here looking at the situation too where it says the ideal is the ideal perfect mate, the ideal circle of friends, the family members who contribute, which means respect, motivation, and support. Okay? Not the ideal. If you're working, if you had to go out and do anything, and now your family likes you, ask yourself, do they really? Now, most people are going to sit and go, well, family's family, right? But we also have to be realistic. It's like going out there and saying, hey, I'm in a relationship with my soulmate. He beats the hell out of me all the time, but he's my soulmate, so I got to stay with him. It's the same thing with family. If family's beating you down, and every time you sit there and try to do what you want to do and live your life the way you want to, and they're not supportive in anything you do, if anything they do, they talk it down, or they keep telling you, what if you don't make enough money doing this? What if in negative ways they're not being supportive, they're not being respectful, and they're putting you down? Same thing with friends as much as anything else too. If they're not contributing or supporting or respecting what you've chosen to do or who you're with, then they don't deserve to be your friends anymore. because they could be physical manifestations of your fears that you've actually manifested in the process of not being happy. So therefore, you use them as wrenches to put yourself into it. Okay? My friend comes back and says, this guy's probably bad for you. He might be a serial killer, or he might be all these other things. And you're thinking, but I don't feel that way. Then you need to freaking sit down and honor your feelings. How do you feel? Respect yourself. Honor yourself. And tell yourself, if you're in a situation where people are doing that to you, then you're not being respectful, supportive to yourself. You're not being kind to yourself. You're being mean to yourself. In the process of being, you're trying to get those people to like you. If you can't get, if people don't just love you, if they don't care about who you are, if they just don't naturally gravitate to you and see you as that nice, great person, then you gotta ask yourself one thing too. How am I treating myself? And I need to walk away from the situation to get that respect, to get that support, and to get that love of myself back. Because what you're doing at that moment is you have got so caught up in the situation wanting everybody else to love you, you forgot to love you. And you forgot, and you walked away from the situation. Maybe you don't want to look at yourself. Maybe you don't want to look at what the things within yourself. I think you should, because it's a place to start. And I think you should start listening and following your heart and looking at the truth of situations and realizing the clutter and the things that no longer contribute to your happiness and get rid of them. Okay? If you put yourself into a situation where you were scared to death because it was such a great environment and a great situation or a great relationship that you started letting go of all those things and you think you're a bad person because you were, you wasn't. You were finding yourself. If you're in a relationship where you felt like you were losing yourself, you wasn't losing yourself. You were finding yourself. You were comfortable. You were so comfortable. You were allowing yourself to become something and be a part of something special. That's exactly what you were doing. And you ran away. You walked away. You walked away from you. So what you do is you change it. It's easy as that. It's seriously, man. It's like one of those things where you look at people and go, okay, what can I do? It just was a realization that you need to go back. You need to find it. You need to recapture. You need to embrace it and say, oh, shoot. Because, see, one thing about life, family and friends, you should never have to work at keeping them. It should just be. If they don't like you, don't care about you, don't love you, tell you how much a bad person because you haven't spent no time with them, they're just jealous of what you got. They're jealous of who you are. Is that your fault? No, it's not. It's their fault because they're not looking at the reflection about them back about themselves, that they can also be great, fantastic persons and people too as well. So they're missing it. All you're doing is being who you are and what and who and all the things that you were supposed to do. Now you're living your life. You're living you. How we put this, you are being the true essence of who you are and the ideal of who you've always been. Now you've just decided to let it be and come out to the point where you don't make excuses. You don't sit there and look at the situation and trying to justify who you are. And you don't sit there and really look at people and the idea of making excuses for what you do. You don't have to. It's the idea of realizing if you're making excuses because people can't deal with you, it's because they can't deal with themselves. That's the pure essence of the whole thing. It goes down to the nutshell. In the process of being who you are, and being what you are, and doing your life purpose, and living your life, living your dreams, one thing you're going to find out that everybody's going to deal with you, and they're also going to be jealous of you, criticizing, those kind of things. Always remember one thing. In the process of those things happening, means you're doing something right. Which means they're not learning the lesson that they're supposed to be learning at that moment to improve on themselves. And that's the whole situation, as much as I can put it down there, is what it's supposed to be. Okay. Are there any questions?
Not for me.
Okay.
No, I'm listening. There's no question. It makes sense all the way through. So just charting down stuff that you said.
So I'm saying, living your life purpose will always get you life partner, life opportunities. So what are you looking for? Live it. And I guarantee you, it will love you, embrace you. Life will love you as much as you love it. So therefore, because you love yourself. Don't you wish you did?
Sounds so simple, but it's not, is it?
it's
not simple, but life is just really complicated, and it shouldn't be this complicated.
Hold up. I want to stop you right there. Okay. What you're doing right now is throwing yourself into the situation. If you listen to what I said and how it unfolded, I didn't take a breath through the whole thing. It was a spiritual message. So we cannot. It's like the Bible. People say, "I shall not steal," and you stole my car. I'm sorry. It's not. It doesn't mean thou shall not steal my car. For cars didn't exist when the thing was written. Plus, it's the ideal that the Middle East actually took it too far. You see a lot of people walk around no hands and feet because they used to steal. There was no understanding about the situation concept. But it was also like a double-edged sword. People steal because they have not. So therefore, they wasn't asking for what they really wanted. People say that's a hard concept to take in. No, it's not. So what you want to see is this. I see myself living as I have always dreamed. Yet now the dream is a reality. For I have awakened to the vision of truth. Okay. The reason it's so hard, as some people say, it's not. When we start bringing the world concept into it, it gives us the illusion it is hard. That's not simple. When realistically, it is. If you look at the ideal of Jesus' life, when he came to the multitude, and they only had 5 fish and I think 5 loaves of bread to actually feed the multitude, look at what he did. Did he say anything about what are we going to do? What's the plan? What the... with this? And he said, no, he never said none of those things. He just came in and said, we're going to feed the multitude. Now, the disciples were like, how's that? Jesus didn't say anything. He just went to work of manifesting enough food for everyone, not just the point of feeding everybody, but everybody got their full. Okay, did you hear that? Everybody got their full. Okay? He manifested the bread. He manifested the fish. He gave everybody what they were supposed to. Fed everybody. Okay? Never said a word. So if you take this situation and you put it in perspective, take the perception of going out and living your life. Live your life purpose. Look at the situation. Okay? Does grass think about growing? Okay? Does the ocean think about rolling in on the beach? Think about going today and working a job. They just do. They just are in a sense of being, and everything is taken care of for them. It's the ideal, letting go of everything right now that you're worrying about and realizing that worry is a lack of faith. If somebody sat there and told you today that you're worth $10 million, you're trying to emphasize on something else of how much you think you're worth. You should ask yourself, if somebody can see me as worth $10 million or looking at me, seeing me as being priceless, why can't I see it? And maybe if you sit there and took the time to focus on you, that you would see it. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, somebody just told me I'm worth $10 million. I want to see that. You have to live it. It's the ideal realizing at that moment, if somebody saw that in you, maybe if you sit there and look to the person who told you that, maybe you could see it too. So therefore, what do we do? See, we're all sitting there trying to figure out what's the first step. When actually I told you before, take a step back, listen to your heart, listen, and follow it. See, follow it. I didn't say think about it. I said take it to the point of stop second guessing yourself. Stop going out there looking for work. If you're looking for work, I guarantee you the job you found is not the answer. Because, see, we said before in the beginning of the show, every good thing I desire, I deserve, comes to me. Every good thing I desire comes to me. If it doesn't come to me, it's not good for me. So if you went out and looked for a job and somebody said, oh, you're fantastic, he's looking at you as cattle, saying this would be a good prime species here to actually wait on these tables and get this thing done. Or this would be a good person to go down there and break his back and clean up this fertilizer. Now, you're all going to sit there and say, who should people be out there doing that? But does it mean it has to be you?
Mm-hmm.
You're destined to do something. But if you've gone out there and intentionally seeked it out, ask yourself, what were you doing? You were basically making a decision out of fear that if you didn't get that money, if you don't make a certain amount of money, you're going to lose something. If you made that decision, you made a decision out of fear. If you sit there and say you're listening to your guides and you say, I'm doing what I want to do, I guarantee you're not listening to your guides. You're hearing them, but you're not listening. The people that I see who listen to their guides and angels have blessed lives, don't work menial jobs. They live their life purpose, and they're very well compensated. Okay? I want you to sit there and ask yourself, what kind of illusion are you living in? If you sit there and say that you were supposed to do psychic work, and you say you can't make a living at it, when we have Sylvia Brown, multimillionaire, we have John Edwards and all these things, you could say they're frauds, they're charlatans or whatever. If that's the only way you can justify it, of seeing somebody being successful because you're not, then ask yourself again. If you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend in your life, and they were fantastically successful at the whole thing, and you walked away from it because you were jealous or intimidated, then you didn't reflect it at all, did you? Because they were just reflecting back at you about your own greatness, your own life purpose, your own self-worth, your own self. See, they were pointing out to you the one thing you've been looking for, and I guarantee you, they also loved you like no one ever has ever loved you in your life, because they supported you until your dreams became a reality. So keep that in mind, work at it, put it together, and that kind of thing like that. Just let it be what it is, okay? It's one of those things that you don't understand. Get this book, The Alchemist Handbook by John Randolph Price. Get some insights. Really start manifesting the ideal, your life into reality. Live your dream. Live your life. Like I always say, change your thinking, change your perception, change your life. And I guarantee if you do, you will be living a fantastic, awesome life. Now, I want to sit here and tell you guys, if you've been living negative for a long time, give it a little time. But put yourself completely into it, 100%. I guarantee you're going to find some really good stuff. I'm sorry, guys, but we're winding down to the last couple seconds of the show, so I'm going to get going here. But thank you for being here. Thank you, sweetie, for being here and listening and contributing to the show as much as you always do when you're here. And I want to thank everybody else who's listening and that kind of stuff. And like I always say, you know, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given. And open yourself up to seeing God in every person that you see out there. Because I guarantee you, when you see God within everyone, you'll see yourself and you'll know you're on the right path. And always say hello to your angels when you're in a difficult situation. Stop worrying. Because it's one of those situations you don't need to worry. Worry is a lack of faith. So put yourself in a very faithful place and manifest that life you always wanted to live. Don't work at those restaurants. Don't do those other things. You know, it's one of those things. They'll take care of themselves. Take care of you. All right, guys? You guys have a great night. Fantastic. We'll leave you a nice little song called Child of Innocence by Kansas. And you guys, we'll see you on Thursday.
Love you much. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. See you guys all later, okay? Bye-bye.
first year.